Yes.
There are supposedly two beliefs about the future life.
Yeah.
Reincarnation.
What are those two?
One is that once a human being,
yeah,
always a human being,
or higher.
It cannot go down.
Or higher.
Or higher, right.
Never come down.
Never come down.
The other belief is one
other
can.
Other is that you can become animal.
Yes. Yes.
What is the truth?
The truth is the second one, that a human being can also become an animal.
Any
perfect.
Again, through 84?
No. Not 80 through 84. It is only temporary. Like, you know, a normal man, suppose he commits a crime, he goes to jail. So it is not for eternity. You know, temporarily he will be incarcerated, and then when the punishment period is over, he will come out. So the whole point is like this. You see, many people, they do not understand why they ask this question. The point is, they hope against hope, however bad I am not going to go down. Even if I don't go up, at least I will not go down. The Hindu belief, reincarnation, you know, it's a most marvelous theory. What it is, reincarnation is not a punishment. It is an opportunity for us to catch up with what either we have lost or we have not gained. You know, it's an opportunity. Okay, this year I failed. Second year, I will try to pass. This is a hope. Hopeful, this. Suppose somebody behaves like an animal, and he develops animal samskaras. So then he becomes an animal, that particular animal, so that he can express his samskaras freely. But when he is corrected, he understands this is not the right way. Again, he will be given an opportunity to be a human being. So there are two things you have to understand in this respect. One, a natural evolution, where from a lower mechanism we develop a higher mechanism. Evolution means development of this instrument, both body and mind, so that we can experience life in greater fullness and depth. That is what is called evolution. The higher we are in the scale of evolution, the more complex becomes our mechanism, brain especially, mind, to experience life in more perspective, right? So this is one doesn't start again from the amoeba state. Once we come to the human life, there are what is called three stages of evolution. One is instinct, one is reason, another is intuition. Intuition belongs to saints. Instinct belongs to non-human beings. Reason is supposed to work with human beings because we have a choice. We have got not only consciousness, we have got self-consciousness. Means, the ability to stand outside of our own selves and to evaluate our personality, right? Yes. So once we attain this stage, we are responsible for our own actions. Animals are not responsible because they behave very naturally, means instinctively. Whereas we have been given this blessed privilege of both, we can be good, or we can be also evil. So we have to correct ourselves. If we are not behaving properly, this correcting procedure is called going down. It is a temporary period. And once that experience is over, we learn our lessons and then we come back. In offices, they call it a retraining period. Right? I don't know, is it correct word? I call it, you know, basic skills every now and then you have to
continuing education.
Continuing education, okay. Nowadays, you know, Everybody wants a euphemistic word. Trees are gen. Trees are gen. Those who look after corpses and want funeral directors. If you ask them undertakers, then they will get very angry. Tree surgeons. Today we saw tree surgeons here. outside our house, you know, they brought one. What a beautiful mechanism. They are feeding the branches into it and it's becoming just pulp is coming out of it. Have you seen that? Here, just out, it was there until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Anyway, so the second opinion, this is what Upanishads tell us. This is what our saints and sages are telling, and Ramana Maharshi used to tell it. And I will tell you a very interesting incident. You know, Ramana Maharshi used to love animals. Have you heard about Ramana Maharshi? Yeah. And he always used to respect them. You know what in Hindi we call aap, way, not tum, wo. It is a respectable word. Ve aaye hain, not wo aaya hai, because he used to respect animals. So once a dog came, very intelligent dog, Ramana Maharshi's ashrama, there are some places on the hill to devotees go around, it's called Giri Pradakshina. So this dog observed very well that the most of the people who come to Ramana ashrama, they go around that hill early morning, come back in the afternoon, by late afternoon or evening, right? And after a few days, this dog started standing in front of the newcomers and wagging its tail, indicating, you follow me, I will take you. Panda ho gaya. So it used to go to those special places, wait outside, so that the people understand, they go inside, prostrate, spend a few minutes, come out, then take them to the next place. Afternoon, it will correctly bring them to the Ramana ashram. And one day a Brahmin came, and you know, South Indian Brahmins, they hate dogs. They think it is a very dirty animal. So this dog was trying to go near him, and he abused it, shouted at it, and then up next day it was found in a pond. It committed suicide. Ramana Maharshi became very sad and said, it was a yogi in its former life. It could not complete its sadhana. It came here to become perfect. It is highly intelligent, but this man, unable to understand it, mistreated it. It could not bear that insult. That is why it had fallen from yoga. Ahankara, you know. What is there if somebody abuses it? It's all right. But anyway, so we do not know. Nowadays, lot of scientific insights are being discovered where animals, even ants, have 27 words, expressions, language. It's highly interesting. Because we are dumb, you know, we think that animals are insensitive or animals do not know how to language. They may be even self-conscious. We don't know. It is quite possible. But anyway, the answer to your question is, according to Upanishads, our scriptures, yes, a human being can become an animal, and most of the, you know, it's just one of our Swamis was asked, that why this human population is so much increasing like that. So he said, you know, you are spraying DDT everywhere, killing all the mosquitoes. All the mosquitoes are reincarnating as human beings. That's what most of our friends go on pinching, you know, each other, behaving more like mosquitoes than human beings, right? Anyway, that is the considered opinion. So this is not to be misunderstood as natural evolution is different. This is a temporary fall down, and again, once he learns the lesson, the jiva comes back.
During this temporary fall down, the complete power then rests with the jiva, or has it been given to God? Because
No, no, no.
We do. Is in the bhog yogi, not in the karma yogi.
You see, all our samskara, it is stored in the form of samskaras. Like your, you know, very huge hard disk. All your files are there, compressed and waiting. As soon as you give the proper word, sometimes even without giving the proper command, it will come out and crash. Yes, virus also is a file, is it not? Very interesting. Yeah.
So, what happens between two incarnations?
It is a moot question because we have to depend upon scriptures for the answer. The reason is, whatever our five sense organs cannot access, we have to have faith in what the scriptures tell us, right? So, the answer given is that between two incarnations, there are three possible states. One goes to heaven, another one goes to hell, and another neither heaven nor hell, but a kind of disembodied existence which we call, you know, bhuta, preta, pishacha, like that. So depending upon what karma one does in this place, that is what happens. It is like this, you know, I can give an analogy. It is not an exact answer, but it is an analogy to understand these concepts better. Suppose you work very, very hard, earn lot of money, you can go on a Hawaiian island or anywhere where you think you can enjoy. That is called Swargaloka. But as soon as your credit is exhausted, you come back. If you do something bad, then you go to, say, jail or something to get corrected and you come back. But there are certain states of what is called sickness. In sickness, one doesn't go to heaven, one doesn't go to hell, one just tries to recuperate. So going to Hawaiian holiday is like Swargaloka. Going to jail or some punishment, that is called Naraka. But being sick is like a disembodied state, very painful state. So these are the three states between two incarnations. But our scriptures tell us whether we want realization, then this human instrument is the best instrument. Yes, please.
According to karma theory, the soul from one life to next life carries all the
samskara.
Vasanas, yeah. Samskaras, yeah. Experiences. So those are carried, is the sukshma, subtle body goes along with the soul?
Yes.
How does that
work? They're all, because the bhautika deha, gross body, drops up, which we call death, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
The subtle body, all these vasanas are stored in the subtle body.
So that subtle body is that
consisting of
mano, buddhi.
Yes, mano, buddhi, chitta and ahankara. Yes, that is called
together subtle body.
Yes, what we
body
call
is,
mind. That is called mind.
Mana is mind.
Yeah.
Are you saying all these together are mind?
Yes. That is, in, you know, in Sanskrit, in English, we call what we call mind, it is a general name for all these four faculties. So the subtle body has four faculties: cogitation, remembrance, decision taking, and this identify what is called ahankara. So ahankara is common for all the three. I cogitate. I give a beautiful example to make this concept clear. Suppose in semi-darkness, you see somebody coming. You don't know who it is because you can't see. Who is it? Who is it? Is it a human being? Is it an animal? Is it a what? Then when you go near, Is it man? Is it a woman? When he comes very near, oh, is this person I know? Is it so and so, etc. This cogitation process is called manaha. It is the function of this antaranga, antarindriya, to cogitate. When it cogitates, it is termed as mind, manaha. Then memory comes. You know, we all work with memories. You can't recognize your friend unless you have seen him before and keep that picture in memory. So this figure tallies with that memory. Now I know this is my friend. This is called chitta. Chitta means memory. So I cogitate aham manaha aham chittaha. Then the chitta reports it. This is so and so. The buddhi says yes. Now you greet him because it has taken a decision. So this is called buddhi's function is to decide. Decisive function belongs to the buddhi. So I cogitate, I remember and I decide. So manaha, chittaha, buddhihi, and behind these three is that faculty called aham. These four together is called satul sukshma sharira.
So that sukshma sharira goes with the soul, atma.
Yes.
And is sukshma sharira is considered as matter?
It is also matter.
It can be matter.
But you see, Vedanta is a very deep subject.
We had this discussion.
Yeah.
Mr. Jain actually.
Yeah.
He says the sukshma sharira is matter.
Yes, it is.
So
in a way of speaking, it is matter. In a way of speaking, finally, there is no matter, there is no soul, everything is only one. Because everything has come from panchabhutas. Where from the panchabhutas have come? From Brahman only. From Brahman, Akasha came. Akasha dvayuhu vayur agnihi agne rapaha adhyah prithivi prithivi oshadipya etc. etc. So these sukshma things have become sukshma sharira, gross panchabhutas have become gross world. So it is everything ultimately is nothing but sarvam kalvidam brahma. But in our state we have got three personalities. What are those? Sthula sharira, sukshma sharira and karana sharira. Or sukshma and karana sharira lumped into one, body, mind and soul, jiva. Right? So it is the sukshma sharira, it is also a sharira. That is why it is, he is right, he said it is matter only. But it is, what is sukshma sharira? It is a subtle body is called sukshma sharira. And gross body is called, gross mind is called sthula sharira. And subtle body is called sukshma sharira. It's an expression, different expressions. And this sukshma sharira goes with us from life to life. There is no break there. It is only physical body which dies. The sukshma sharira doesn't die. It dies only, as it were, when the liberation comes, jnana comes. Then one realizes there is no sthula, there is no sukshma, there is no karana. Eva sarvam kalvidam brahma. Until we reach that, we have to keep this distinction.
So from one body, just like what she was saying, one life to the next life, so this atma along with sukshma sharira, is it traveling in the...
As it were, it is traveling because, you know, there is an beautiful expression in English. If I ask you a question, can God do everything? Give me the answer.
God do everything.
Yes. Can God do anything he wants? No, 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 you give the answer.
Yes?
Yes? All right. No, no, I will ask second question. Can he go on a holiday?
Yes.
I thought he was in holiday.
Where will he go? He is everywhere. We can go on a holiday. Unfortunately, God cannot go on a holiday. Right?
Yes.
Idea of saying is, where will the Atma go? It is like your Swapna. You see, you imagine, you are go to sleep and say, I am in Hawaii land, I am in India. Have you gone to India?
Oh, yeah. I go every day.
No.
Oh, you go every day? Oh, God. How much money do you spend? You know, it is all, the Atman is everywhere. Only our inability to see it. You know what is travel like? You know what it is like? I will give a simple illustration. Can you see this hole of this wall? Now, you just put your fingers like this and watch different parts of the wall. It is like going on a holiday from this place to that place. Are you really going anywhere? It is, you know, our limitation which makes it say the soul doesn't go anywhere, but apparently it travels from state to state, from place to place, is human limitation. Yeah. Okay. Ready? Please give them some nice prasad. So let us all say, Om. Om. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Okay.